Well, good morning. May I encourage you to grab your physical copy of the Bible, because we're going to be kind of walking through this Psalm 42 together. But I want to point out a couple of things to you kind of as we go along, because at the top of Psalm 42, you might notice right above it, if you were looking in your Bible, that it says Book 2. Because if you remember, the book of Psalms was split up into five different books, and each of these things that we're reading were different chapters of it. Now, we don't know why they split them up that way. Maybe the parchment was only so long in the scroll, and so they rolled it up. But we know that in Book 1, David was the primary author. 37 of the 41 Psalms in Book 1 were written by David. The other four, we don't know the authors of. In Book 2, we see 18 of the 31 books being written, or these psalms being written by David, and then the others are kind of spread out. Solomon has one, Asaph has one, the sons of Korah have 7 or 8. We'll discuss that here in a little bit, and three of them are unknown as well. And so we see these kind of authors beginning to pour their songs into this songbook to be able to encourage us, to walk us through those things kind of as well. And you'll notice in there, I don't know if you noticed this, Chad read it, but we have a very clear structure in Psalm 42. We have a verse, and then we have a chorus, and then we have verse 2, and then we have a chorus. You might have noticed it says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." This is the chorus of the song that they're singing. And if you'll notice, if you look a little further in chapter 43, you'll notice that there's these verses, but verse 5 says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." So it seems like there's this third verse and another, the same chorus being written as well. So we're going to kind of cover these three sections, and each one of these sections is going to give us kind of a glimpse into an emotion that is stirred up within us, and the chorus is going to be our answer to that emotion or that thing that's been stirred up in our life. And so as you look, it says, "To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah." Now, maskil, if you remember last year, if you were here last year, we talked a little bit about maskil being this unknown musical term. So we don't really know what it means. We just know it's some kind of musical term that's only mentioned a few different times through the Psalms, and it's written by the sons of Korah. And we'll talk about their story a little bit more here in a little bit. All right, and so we get into the structure. We're going to be looking for what primary emotions is this the author of this feeling, and then what is their answer to that emotion. So verse 1, in this structure, we're going to see this emotion come up, and that emotion is depression. So we're going to talk about how do we, as followers of Jesus Christ, face depression. Look what it says. Verse 1, "As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." And I know that you have in your mind kind of this picture of like this beautiful stream. It's like flowing, and here's a deer like just prancing along. I have all kinds of deer in my neighborhood, and they're just like slurping out of there. But is that what this being said here? No, they're panting for water, right? So if David was panting for water, get that man some water, right? Like he's crawling out of here. He's just searching everywhere. Where's water, right? What's going on? And so this almost like sense of desperation is going on. Like, where can I find this water? And we see that happening more and more in these next verses. "For my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" He's thirsting for God, and it's not being met. "My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God?" Have you ever been in that position where your tears were your food day and night? You just couldn't stop crying. The situations in your life just tore you up so much that you couldn't get it out of your heart and out of your mind. That day and night, you just sobbed, you began to cry. And some of you in this room have been through horrific trauma in your life. You've lost people close to you. And I just want to say, I'm sorry. Life is so hard. You go through this rejection. You go through these things. And day after day, night after night, the tears just flow when you think about this trauma or this situation. And on the back door comes knocking depression, looking for an opportunity to come into your life, looking for an opportunity to get its way in. And we have examples of this happening in the Bible. Do you remember Job? Job lost his family. He lost his children. What trauma. What just tears. And then financial ruin came to him. He lost everything. And then his health failed, even to the point that he was near death, boils on his skin. Yet what does he say in Job 1:21? But blessed be the name of the Lord. That even through these trials, we can have hope in God. And many of this room, there's been times we've had to question, can I, through this trial, through these tears, can I have hope in God? You know, depression is one of those things that actually I'm familiar with. It's an unwelcome friend to my life and to my mind. Many times it comes knocking on the back door. And sometimes I let it in. Whether it was my dad who was in prison for sexually abusing children and that trauma that happened with there. Whether it was my friend in high school who sat beside me in choir and committed suicide. And I blamed myself. Why was I not more intentional with him? Why did I not share Christ with him? And those thoughts that he had began to bombard my own mind. Or it could be something small. Like I remember a few years ago, one of the greatest things that happened in my life was us getting to hire Brandon George back to come be our youth pastor. But I also gave up my dream. My dream had been to like die playing Ultimate Frisbee, right? That was my dream, like being a youth pastor my whole life. But I was like, I want to give this up for Brandon. But I got lost for a while. What is my calling? What does God want me to do now? And without realizing it, if you don't shut all the windows in your house, the enemy can get in. And he gets in and he starts to make up a home, and yet we have hope in God. Yet this psalm is going to tell us how we can battle and fight back against that. And I want to give you a woo-woo lie alert, okay? I wish I had a cool like siren going on, woo-woo. There's a lie out in the world today that says Christians should never be depressed. That's a lie from the enemy. They say, you don't have enough faith, that's why you're depressed. No, that's a lie. We're human. We struggle. Depression gets its way in. But here's the truth, that we shouldn't stay depressed. We've got to battle. We've got to battle the lies and the things the enemy has planted in our life, and we've got to take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ, and we've got to battle, and we got to fight. Here's another lie. Look at this next verse in verse 4. It says, these things I remember, these tears day and night, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. How long would I go with the throng and lead them in procession in the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival? How can I, and here's what the sons of Korah are saying, how can I come up and lead people in worship when I struggle? How can I come up and lead you in a sermon when I've struggled with depression? I've struggled with these things before. How can I do that? Because we have somewhere in our mind this lie, woo, woo, right? This lie again that Christian leaders should never fail, right? That's a lie. Because I'm just like you. The people that come on the stage, we're just like you. How should a Christian leader respond? What is the truth? We need to humble ourselves when we fail and come before God and come before you and confess our sin. We got to be real. There was a time where, and this is, I'm not trying to bash anybody, okay? I just have some trauma from church early on where there was this huge pulpit, right? And people stood behind the pulpit and they acted perfect. And your kids had to be perfect. They weren't allowed to run on the pews, right? They weren't allowed to talk in church. If they made a sound in church, you're like, shoo, like took them out and threw, you know, out of there real quick. There's this like this fear that just constantly was bombarding us. And that was really, if you want to know my definition of how depression gets into my life, let me give you a quick kind of recipe for depression, okay? Fear. One part fear. One part isolation. This is how it works out in my life. This is some scientific method. This is how it works in my life. When fear comes into my life and I get isolated, those things mix together and then they puncture into these underlying sins and underlying things in my life. We have issues under the surface, right? If you have hidden sin, guess what that fear and isolation does, you're going to be found out. You have underlying shame. Fear and isolation are going to beat you up. You have guilt in there. You have trauma from your past, because we have trauma, real trauma in our life, and fear and isolation mix it all together. And guys, in the United States of America, it's like a stewing pot for fear and anxiety. You realize that 40 million people in the United States of America have been diagnosed with anxiety disorders. 40 million people struggle with anxiety, panic attacks, and stress. 1 in 6 people are going to struggle with serious depression over their life. So whether it's you or someone close to you, depression is always knocking on the door. Why? Because fear of failure. I say, by the way, these stats were before a worldwide pandemic. Which, what did the worldwide pandemic do? Turn fear up to 11 and then force you to be isolated. And then you realized, wow, my family has issues, right? And you mix all those things together, and woo, depression, right? Just, we come out of this pandemic, and there's so many psychological and trauma issues that come out, and what do we have to do? We have to go to this chorus. What does it say here? Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you at turmoil within me? Hope in God. Do you have hope in God? Because this is the answer to depression, that we have to have hope in God. Now, I'm going to go serious pastor on you, okay? I'm going to give you 3 things that start with the same letter, okay? So you can hopefully remember them, okay? So the three R's that I want you to kind of remember. Number one, you got to recognize, then you got to remember, then you got to recalculate. Here's what I mean. Here's how I have coached myself through this week. Look what he says first. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you at turmoil within me? He's asking himself, why are you feeling this way? You know, last week I was in California, got a chance to be a part of a beautiful wedding for Colton Pennington, one of my youth for 6 years, and KJ. They were engaged for, y'all give them some love, that's cool. They were engaged 566 days of engagement. We counseled them through that whole time. We read so many books. It was awesome. They were so hungry to learn about marriage, and we don't know the answer to marriage. Anyway, that's a whole other sermon, a different time. But we just did our best to love on them. We got to be out there. And then on Monday, we came back and worked and started planning. And then Tuesday, Tara and I got in the car, and we drove to Florida, got to be with the youth for a little while at camp and so on. I'm just going to be honest, okay? During a 30-hour round trip driving in the car, I wasn't always pastorly. You know, like there was a moment where we're having worship music on, and I'm like, you know, sweet child of mine, would keep me awake more, right? I'm confessing. Where do we go? Now, like that kind of just, it's just there. Okay? I'm just saying, just being honest. Okay, there was a moment where we went into like the Subway at Walmart to eat because we're on a budget. So we go into there, and I just got like sad, like sorrow, just like. Slam in the face, and it's like not because I was eating at Subway at Walmart. I just got sad. Okay, I just the sorrow came on me, and I've been thinking about this verse, and I had to go. Why are you so sad? Why are you so downcast, my soul? Is it something that Tara did? Is it something that's happened in my life? What's going on there? And we have to recognize that our emotions are tied to something. Don't just stuff your emotions when they come up. Go. Why do I feel this way? Why does that person make me feel that way? Why does that word make me feel this way? So that you can recognize it, and then I have to remember what Christ has done for me. Remember the word of God. I'm struggling with the sorrow, sitting in Subway, and I'm going, what does the Bible say? It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Even if it was a trial, what does the Bible say? That I should find joy in the trials because they help me become mature and complete, not lacking in anything. I need to rejoice. Is sorrow or rejoicing what the Lord wants me to choose right now? And I have to recalculate and go, do I want to sit in the sorrow or do I want to choose joy? And I chose joy. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't come out like, woo, and get all excited, but I started working my way out of that sorrow to where it didn't define me anymore. And this is what we have to do with depression. This is what we have to do with failure, these different things. We have to start, why do I feel this way? And then remember to have hope in God. And I shall again praise him. Are you ready to praise God? Are you ready to have a hope in Him? My salvation and my God. Are you ready to make your salvation? Not their salvation, not your parents' salvation, not someone else's salvation, your husband, your wife's salvation. Are you ready to make it my salvation and make it my God? That's the one I'm clinging to. I'm not living out my faith through someone else. I'm living out my faith with the Lord God Almighty, with Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Right? We have to recognize, we have to remember, and then we have to recalculate our emotions to get us back where God wants us to be. Because again, we struggle. Is this a safe place for us to struggle? Because constantly I hear, well, I was afraid to tell people that I was struggling with this. They would just tell me that you need to have more faith. We need to be a place where people can open up and we can walk through and tell them, hey, let's have hope in God. Let's do this together. Okay, let's look at the verse 2. So that was verse 1. Facing depression, how do we do it? By having hope in God, right? By having praise in Him, by having Him as our salvation, our God. Here's the second part. How do we face what I'm gonna make up a word, forgottenness. It's not a word because a red squiggly line came up when I typed it in, but I want it to be a word. Okay, so how do we struggle with feeling forgotten? This isn't lonely. We get lonely sometimes, but have you ever felt forgotten? Like, they just don't invite me anymore. This is a problem that's plagued the church for millennium. People feel forgotten by the church. Oh, they haven't checked on me. They haven't done this. They haven't done that over the time. And we feel forgotten. And we see that happening here in these next verses. But we see him battling, right? Remember, we don't stay depressed because we start to battle. Look at the battle that's going on. It says, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I remember you. There's that R word, right? Remember. From the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls out to deep. My spirit calls out to the Spirit of God. Deep calls out to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves has gone over me. It makes me think of Jonah, chapter 2, women's Bible study. Y'all been going through it. And remember, the waves and the breakers wash over Jonah. That's the feeling that we get sometimes in our walk with Christ. But look at verse 8. You should circle verse 8. Incredible verse, okay? It says this. By day, the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night, His song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life. Now, a second ago in verse 3, what was His food day and night? His tears, right? Like the Valley of Baca that y'all talked about last week, right? We have these tears, but what is His food now? By day, He commands the steadfast love of the Lord is what I'm consuming right now. At night, His song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life. Can you say that God is the God of your life? He's the one that throughout, you couldn't live without Him. Christ, who is my life when He appears. You know, we hear this song, and made me think about, have you realized that when you walk out of these doors, just because our building lets nothing in, you realize how many waves are around you? Radio waves, cell phone waves, Wi-Fi waves are going on around us all the time, right? You get in your car, right, and you turn on the radio, and what do you, if you want to listen to K-Love or Spirit or K-Vet, country music. Anyway, if you listen to one of those stations, what do you have to do in order to do that? You have to tune in, right? You have to grab your radio, and you have to turn it and tune it until you actually tune into that station to hear what they have to say, right? Even though all of these waves are around us all the time. Well, the culture's around us all the time. The Word of God's around us all the time. People around us all the time. What are you going to choose to tune into? When those thoughts come into your head and they're all over the place, right? Hundreds of them just telling you this and telling you that. Which one are you going to tune into? The one that's speaking the truth of God's Word? Are you going to tune into that one? Are you going to tune into one that's self-hate? You're going to tune into your past, which keeps reminding you of all your mistakes? Or are you going to tune into praising Him through the trial? Because we know we have the victory. Which one are you going to choose to tune into? That's what is going on here. We have to choose to tune into the song that is within me, His song. And then he says in verse 9, I say to God, my rock. Notice, beautiful name for God, right? He's our rock, our solid foundation. But notice what he says next. I know you're my rock, but why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all day long, where's your God? You're bleeding out. You're dying. Like your emotions are just being poured out. It's like being stabbed. Where's God? And the people around you are questioning, where's God? And you go, where is he? And then you say to yourself, why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you at turmoil within me? Because, can I go back to a verse? Where, do you remember David and the ups and downs of David's life? Right? In Psalm 23, verse 4, and many of us know it, what does it say? It says, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Right? His rod and his staff, it comforts me. Right? He fears no evil because you're with me. When you think about that verse, right, and you think about the depression and the failure and all the things you face, notice what this verse says. I will fear no evil. What's the first component of depression? Fear. But I'll fear no evil. Why? Because Christ has taken my sin. My underlying issues, when I give them to Christ, he's thrown them as far as the east is from the west. Right? Why? Because you're with me. Do you realize that you're never alone? Because the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Do you realize that? He feels forgotten here, right? But he's forgetting that God is with him, that the Spirit of God lives inside of us, and he's never going to leave us or forsake us. So we should never feel forgotten because Christ died for us, and he gave us his Spirit to live with us during that time. And it says, your rod and your staff will comfort me. And that's such a beautiful verse until you realize the rod and the staff are meant to discipline us, meant to get us in the position to hear from God. We have to be disciplined in our life to tune in to what he has for us in there. And here's what it says again. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you at turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Are you ready to praise him? Are you ready to have hope in God? Now look at chapter 43. We see kind of I think of this as like the remix. They wrote a little wrote another verse to the psalm, right? So they kind of added to it with the same chorus that's after. Look what it says here, and you're going to find out really quick what emotions are going on in his life. It says this, vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people from the deceitful and unjust man. Deliver me. They've been wronged. They've been judged. The ungodly, the deceitful have pressed out against, they're facing injustice, they're facing rejection, they're facing all these things. By the way, the sons of Korah, they understand this probably better than anyone else, this sense of just rejection that's going on. I want you to turn back into Numbers chapter 16. Rudy kind of mentioned them last week a little bit, but I want to tell you the story of the sons of Korah that I think is so interesting. Numbers 16, starting in verse 3, here's what's going on in this story. It says, they, the sons of Korah, assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, you have gone too far, right? So the sons of Korah are challenging Moses and Aaron. It says, for you have gone too far, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? When Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he said to Korah and all his company, in the morning, the Lord will show us who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to the one. The one whom he chooses, he will bring near to him. Do this. Take censers, Korah and all his company. Put fire in them and put incense on them before the Lord. Tomorrow, and the man whom the Lord chooses will be the Holy One. You have gone too far, sons of Levi. And Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it too small a thing for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do service in the tabernacle of the Lord, to stand before the congregation to minister to them? So these sons of Korah were Levites that were serving in the temple, and they're challenging Moses and Aaron, saying, why are you a priest over us? We should be the ones in charge. And there's this power struggle going on. He said, is it too light a thing that the people that you're serving the Lord? And he says to them, and that all that has been brought near, brought you near him, and all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you? And would you seek the priesthood also? Therefore, it is against the Lord that you and all your company have gathered together. What is Aaron that you grumble against him? And so he sets up this kind of showdown, right, where all of a sudden Moses and Aaron are going to stand on this side, and the sons of Korah are going to stand in this side. They're going to light these censers representing the prayer to the Lord, and they're going to say, Lord, you choose. Who's going to be in control? You choose. Makes you think of Elijah and Mount Carmel and the showdown that was happening there, right? And to go a little further in that chapter, in verse 28, we see the result of that. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, and that it is not of my own doing or my own accord. If these men die as all men die, or if they are visited by the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates something new, and the ground opens his mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, they will go down alive in Sheol, and you shall know that these men have despised the Lord. And as soon as he had finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and all their goods. And so they and all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. Whoa! So they're like battle. Imagine I'm here, and I'm putting myself against you guys in the center section. Sorry, center section, right? And all of a sudden, like, Lord, you be the judge. And like, the ground opened up, like, y'all are gone. Just like, whew, gone. Right in the middle, the whole middle section, gone. Whoa, that's crazy. And what did Moses do? Say, if the Lord's for me, this happened. If he's for you, let that happen to me. And the Lord, these are the sons of Korah. Now, when you look a little bit later in Numbers 26, verse 11, when they had just finished this census, you find out that the sons of Korah didn't die. The leaders, the parents, the ones who had led the people astray, they died and were judged. But the sons of Korah did not die. And then the next time that you really hear about them is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it has this beautiful passage of all of a sudden this worship service. Because remember, the sons of Korah were supposed to be the people in the church, in the temple, the ones worshiping God. And they stood up against Moses. And so now they show up again. And look what it says in these verses. It says, and Jehoshaphat bowed down his head and his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord and worshiped him. And the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. So these people who had a past that, man, your daddy got swallowed by the earth. You probably shouldn't be leading worship. But yeah, hey, how did they praise the Lord? With a very loud voice. Is that how you praise the Lord? With a very loud voice? Or are you a little bit worried about how you sound? Like, I'll be honest, I'm on the front row, Diana here, she's singing. I don't want to mess that up. I don't want to mess it up. She sounds so good. I'm like, oh, I sound like a duck, right? I don't want to do that. But does the Lord care how we sound? No. Do the people around us? A little bit. But we should be praising the Lord. We should be praising with a loud voice. We see these sons of Korah going from a past that should disqualify them to now being the ones that are worshiping in the temple with a loud voice. Your past does not define you. You realize that? You're set free from that. The old has gone and the new has come. You can be made new in Christ. That's why we have hope in God. The things that have happened to you in the past, God can rewrite that history. He can make you new today if you have him as your salvation and your God. If we put our hope and our trust in God. And isn't that what this next part says? Because look what it says next. There's this beautiful part, right? They're feeling, vindicate me, O God. Verse 2 says, for you are God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth and let them lead me. Now, when you hear this, when you think about the light, what do you think about? Jesus, right? John 8:12 talks about Jesus spoke to them and said, I am the light of the world. You no longer have to walk in darkness. You can walk in the light of life. Right? What does he say? And your truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. But he's also said, if you abide in my word, that truth will set you free in John chapter 8. So he's saying, let your light be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? Let Jesus be the one who guides me and leads me. Let your word be the truth that I stake my claim to. Let them bring me to your holy hill, to your dwelling. Do you want a fellowship with the people that are around you and the believers that are there? Are you willing to be the church? You know, verse 2 talked about us being forgotten. This afternoon, we're having a church potluck. We're coming out, we're hanging out together, rain or shine. We're going to make it work, right? If you're like, I come to family thing, but no one talks to me. Go talk to somebody. Okay? I give you permission to butt your way into a circle, all right? If there's a circle of people talking, just be like, hello, I'm here, right? Chris said, don't be forgotten. Don't stand in the back. I don't know if you know the Erickson's, all right? Brent Erickson is just a good friend of mine. When they came, moved from California, I had to like kick him out of the church. He would never leave. He was here, like the last person to leave. I'm like, hey, Brent. He's like, hey! And he just wanted to talk, and we'd talk and talk about like, hey, let's walk out here, right? To get outside the door so I could lock him out. But he was like, I am not going to be forgotten. I'm going to stay here till somebody talks to me. And he literally would stay till I turn the lights off and keep looking at him. He'd be like, you haven't talked to me yet. Okay, right? And we had to stop. Don't be forgotten. Don't let yourself be forgotten. Don't let yourself be depressed. Get into fellowship. Come to the holy place to help people around you and surround you with people that love you and want to encourage you. And then I go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. Have you noticed the names of God that have been in this passage? Have you noticed them? Is God your exceeding joy? Earlier it said, the God who is my life. Right? Earlier it said, he is the living God. Is that how you describe God? As a living God. He's the God of my life. He's my exceeding joy. How can you not want to spend time with that person if he's your exceeding joy, if he's your life? We should want to spend time with Christ our Savior. What a beautiful name. To God, my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre. Oh God, my God, why are you downcast in my soul? And why are you at turmoil within me? Hope in God, and I shall again praise him, my God and my salvation. I want to finish with this verse out of Psalm 27, that as we recognize our emotions and we remember what God has done for us and recalculate our direction, I just thought this verse was encouraging to me this week. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, in whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom should I be afraid? Let's make the Lord our light, our salvation, and our stronghold, our refuge, our exceeding joy, our living God this week. Lord Jesus, I come to you because you are all of these things. Lord, I pray that you will, in my heart and my mind, make you even more of an increasing joy in my life. Lord, I thank you that you have given us life, eternal life, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, thank you for the life that we have in Jesus. Lord, I pray for each person in this room, Lord, if they struggle with depression, Lord, I pray that they'll find freedom through hope in you. Lord, if they struggle with handling failures, and Lord, they have a fear of stepping out because of the failures that have happened in the past, Lord, I pray that they will lay those down on your feet. Lord, these fears they have, you can cast them as far as the east is from the west. Lord, for those who have been rejected or feel forgotten, Lord, I pray that they will give their life completely to you, our salvation and our God, because, Lord, you've promised to never leave us or forsake us. Lord, help us this week to manage our emotions well, to step out and tell other people about Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you in your name. Amen.